morning. Thank you for joining me today as I outline my proposed budget for City Council's consideration. My fiscal year 2021 draft recommendations are aligned with the priorities set in the 2016-2019 strategic plan, the citizen survey, and reflect City Council goals and guidance expressed during the year. Before we get into the specifics of the budget, I want to acknowledge how difficult this year has been. 2020 has been a challenging year for our community, our state, our nation, and the world. From the coronavirus pandemic to the civil unrest, this is a year that will change the course of our city's future. We are going into 2021 fiscal year with a lot of uncertainty. The budget reflects four main goals. Use the current available estimated revenue to fund core and essential services. Adjust the number of staff to meet our estimated revenue projections. Develop a model to provide social and mental health services to shift certain responses from a police response. Continue to address citizen and council priorities such as community policing and street maintenance. Talk a little bit about revenue and staffing. Individuals, families, businesses are feeling the effects of COVID-19, which include financial struggles. Your city government is not immune to these financial struggles and uncertainty. One thing we do know is that our economic challenges must now be addressed through cutting programs and staff, as we have exhausted cuts in these areas over the past 3 years. Our most pressing challenge for the coming year is providing essential core services and ensuring the revenue to pay for those services is allocated. Declining and at times unpredictable, sales tax growth continues to be an issue, especially now as online purchases have grown during the pandemic and there is no process in place to recover those lost revenues. While the data we have shows some decline in sales tax revenue, we believe that decline will accelerate as the pandemic drags on. We also face lower and unpredictable revenues in other areas such as fuel tax, motor vehicle tax, hotel and motel taxes, which are all trending lower due to COVID-19. We don't know yet when or how our economy will recover, and we likely won't know for some time. If we do not get more predictable control of COVID-19 cases, and we experience another wave of COVID-19 this fall or even into next year, what effect will this have on our businesses, our schools, our colleges, and how will that affect our revenue sources we invest into our core community services? Several long-running events have been canceled, such as Show Me State Games, Special Olympics, and the Roots and Blues Festival. Our hotels, restaurants, and retail stores have all felt the pain of canceled conferences and events. Those conferences and events not only bring guests to our hotels and customers to our retail and dining establishment, but pump millions of dollars into our local economy and support our jobs. Because of job loss in these sectors, unemployment continues to be much higher than we have seen in a long time, and it disproportionately affects those who were already struggling before the pandemic. All of these factors make forecasting revenues for the next fiscal year a challenging and difficult process. This proposed 2021 budget shows a total expected revenues of just over $416 million and a total estimated expenditure of just over $456 million. Typically, there is a gap between revenue and expenses. City departments outside the general fund may accumulate project fund balances for several years and then spend the cash in a future year to pay for that capital project. Our revenue estimates are conservative, and we will review closely throughout the coming fiscal year to determine if additional cuts may need to be made to this budget or if additional expenditures for core services can be appropriated. In these uncertain times, we must focus on the critical needs of the city and ensure those are funded. When the budget was adopted last year, the council allowed the use of $3.3 million in general fund reserves to be programmed for ongoing costs. Continuing to use reserves for ongoing expenses to balance the budget is not a sustainable plan. When we used general fund reserves, the goal at the time was to pursue new revenues through a statewide or local use tax. That did not happen, and I am not optimistic it will happen in the near future. In order to ensure those critical needs are funded, I am recommending total reduction in expenditures in the amount of $13.9 million to ongoing costs citywide. The general fund reductions total nearly $3.2 million. The proposed budget also includes a number of organizational changes to reduce double budgeting within the organization and reduce internal service funds that maintain separate reserve balances. While I am recommending adding 15 positions to core services, to core functions, this budget also includes a proposed elimination of 78.5 full-time equivalent positions. 11 of those 78 and a half full-time equivalent positions are currently filled. These proposed changes in staffing would bring our total to 1,452 permanent city employees, or 11.6 employees per 1,000 population. This staffing level per 1,000 population is still lower than pre-recession levels at 12.93. This was not an easy decision. It is one of the hardest I've ever had to make, and I appreciate the work done by the employees who hold the positions being eliminated. We are all likely connected to a family member, a friend, a neighbor who has been furloughed, laid off during this difficult time. Due to a strong financial footing from previous years, we are fortunate that we don't have to make more severe staff cuts like other communities have had to do. Last year, with council's permission to utilize general fund reserves, we were able to provide our employees with a move to midpoint adjustment, a time and class adjustment, and an across-the-board increase. Due to the uncertainty of next year's revenues as a result of COVID-19 and no additional revenue sources were secured, I cannot recommend any pay adjustments in conjunction with the beginning of the fiscal year. Because we made a commitment to our employees last year to implement compensation improvements, I have committed to reviewing the revenue and budget impacts for the second half of fiscal year 2021 to determine if pay adjustments may be possible mid-year or later in fiscal year 2021. Let's talk about police and health. The public safety portion of the general fund budget is by far the largest. The council has just over $63 million in discretionary funding available in fiscal year 2021, and more than $45 million is dedicated to public safety, police, and fire. Two of every $3 in the general fund support these critical functions. The remaining portion of the dollars supports the other 20 city department budgets that make up the general fund. City residents routinely consider police services, including crime prevention, quick response to calls, and service quality, as some of the most important we provide. Public safety is second only to road conditions among residents' priorities, as shown in our city survey. As council and the community requested, the Columbia Police Department is going through major changes. National attention to issues surrounding policing, police funding, and legislation have increased focus on policing policy and practice. In this budget, I propose a new program to develop collaboration between Columbia Police and the Public Health and Human Services and perhaps other community members to develop a public safety mental health collaboration with the Columbia Police Department. I propose in the budget to include just over $620,000 to begin with. Potential models include mobile crisis team, in which the team of mental health professionals is available to respond to calls for service or co-responders where a specially trained officer and a mental health professional respond together to calls for service related to mental health. The city will be working in cooperation with the community in developing this program. Community policing initiatives, once carried out in strategic neighborhoods, are being taught to all CPD officers during mandatory in-service training. In addition, the community outreach unit is being reformed in an effort to begin the process of staffing subdivided beats as presented to council last December. The requested allocation of four school resource officers into the outreach unit prioritizes the community policing transition while maintaining a level of interaction in schools. The outreach unit will consist of six officers and a sergeant. The community policing philosophy will continue to be taught and modeled. In the coming year, officers will be reevaluated by criteria that support community policing. Police will also assume parking enforcement in fiscal year 2021, which will further aid in community policing by increasing police presence in the downtown area. Other positions once occupied by commissioned officers will be staffed by civilians. These civilian positions are more cost-effective and give us an opportunity to put more officers into our community. CPD seems back on course as a place where people want to work. There are currently more people on the eligibility roster than vacancies for the first time in nearly two decades. Recruiting through community partnerships have proven successful in recruiting diverse applicants. We will reevaluate policy, training, and the application of both through an equity lens. It is our intention to seek out opportunities to decrease the effect of bias. Moving on to utilities, the robust utilities we offer as a part of is a large part of what makes us a full-service city. Consistent capital projects help us work towards sound infrastructure, so you will see many projects slated for 2021, some of which are voter-approved. Though I am not recommending any utility rate increases as part of fiscal year 2021's budget. One increase that is voter approved could be considered is a 3% ballot increase in water that will be brought forward in January after the fiscal year financials are closed and audited if it is needed for debt coverage requirements. Although the council is currently engaged in discussions on how to address serious issues in our solid waste utility, I am proposing $1.9 million to be eliminated from operations. This will include the suggested permanent elimination of curbside recycling and no longer providing customer bags for trash and recycling. Due to staffing shortages, staff can simply no longer keep up with the demands of collecting both residential trash and recycling with the current model. Customers will still be able to recycle. They will just need to drop off the recycling at one of the 11 current drop-off sites. Staff is working on adding more drop-off sites, and staff will collect materials at each site at least once a day. This enables us to still offer recycling in a more cost-efficient manner. These service changes allow us to forego a rate increase in 2021, but even with this action, the forecast shows the utility reserve falling below the target in 2023 and negative reserves in 2024 without a rate increase. Additionally, there are $3.2 million in capital projects slated for fiscal year 2021 at the landfill, including improvements to the fueling station, security gate, constructing a vehicle wash bay, and vehicle storage shelter. In our sewer utility, I propose to eliminate $1.4 million from operations. Staff reductions will result in reduced inspection and routine cleaning and repair of our sewers. Decreases in contractual service amounts will defer maintenance, routine cleaning, and inspections. This will enable us to forego a rate increase for 2021, but even with this action, the forecast shows the utility reserves falling below the target in 2023 without a rate increase. Sewer utility will continue spending approximately $3 million each year to address sewer rehabilitation and inflow and infiltration reduction by no-dig or trenchless methods. These ongoing efforts to reduce inflow and infiltration and rehabilitate our aging infrastructure will transition from being paid by bond funds to operating funds. Recommended sewer projects funding for FY 2021 is $3.7 million, which includes multiple private common collector elimination projects. These projects were approved by voters in November of 2013. In our electric utility, $8.6 million is proposed to be eliminated from operations. Reductions will occur in the tree-to-tree, tree power, energy efficiency, and energy audit programs. A significant amount of cuts occurred in purchase power, which is always difficult to forecast. If purchase power starts to increase and impacting our market, staff will be looking at bringing a budget amendment forward to City Council for their consideration. These cuts enable us to forego a rate increase in fiscal year 2021. But even so, the forecast shows the utility reserves falling below the target by 2022 without a rate increase. The electric utility is in the process of completing an integrated electric resource and master plan that incorporates climate action and adaptation goals. Electric capital project funding of $4.78 million is recommended in fiscal year 2021. These projects were authorized by the voters in April of 2015. In our water utility, $1.3 million is proposed to be eliminated from operations. This includes reductions of staff and contractual services for water distribution maintenance would be decreased. Even with this action and a potential 3% voter-approved rate increase included in 2021, the forecast shows the operation reserves falling below the target by 2022 without further rate increases. Recommended capital projects were voter approved in August of 2018. Total capital project funding for FY 2021 is $21.79 million, with four major capital projects scheduled. Moving on to transit, I'm recommending to the council we move to a fare-free transit system for fiscal year 2021 as a pilot project. COVID-19 has impacted many facets of our community, and this is one way the city can help is to remove some of the burden from our most vulnerable residents' day-to-day costs. The CARES funding is helping make this possible, and the budget projections say it is sustainable going forward with the transit system and ridership that we currently have. In April, Transit applied for CARES Act grant and was awarded a grant in June in the amount of $6.5 million. The suggested plan is to use $1.7 million in fiscal year 2020 for operations instead of transportation sales tax funding. We anticipate the requirement of the local match funding to return in fiscal year 2021, so the remaining CARE grant funds would be used for capital projects, including bus and van replacements and some improvements to our buildings. Moving on to streets, we know many in our community year after year are concerned about the condition of our streets. I recommend utilizing the CARES funding to replace the airport subsidy and the transit capital project matching funding from the transportation sales tax and temporarily relocate this funding to the street maintenance over the next 3 years. This would increase street maintenance funding by $2 million for fiscal year 2021 and would allow the department to further pursue implementation of the pavement management plan. The majority of the additional funding will be focused on asphalt, mill and overlay, and associated repairs such as ADA ramp replacement, base repairs, and more, both major and maintenance roadways to improve the quality of city streets. Additional services that will be phased in or expanded include microsurfacing, crack sealing, chip seal, full depth reclamation, and surface seals. We'll also continue to work on traffic calming projects and sidewalks in the neighborhoods. Challenges for fiscal year 2021 and beyond. I see fiscal year 2021 as a year of uncertainty. Uncertainty of our revenue in general, our business climate picture, the way we educate, and the health of our community overall. Last year, we had a vision of just needing Columbia to shore up its funding sources and diversify its general fund revenue sources going forward. This year is totally a different picture. COVID-19 has changed everything we have thought about going forward. Last year, my plan was to conduct several World Cafe meetings with residents, visiting with community leaders and stakeholders, as well as finding other ways to engage our residents to discuss the city's dwindling revenue picture. This year, my plan is still to meet with the residents, but on a much broader sense. Yes, we still need to discuss revenues, but we also need to discuss how we revitalize ourselves in the wake of COVID-19. How are we going to have events like Show Me State Games and Roots and Blues, possibly college sports, high school events? The list goes on and on. How are we going to support our business community, our colleges, and the community needs that all of our residents and visitors have come accustomed to Columbia providing? The big question is, because of COVID-19, are we going to become isolated? Are we going to always be limited to playing it safe? How much risk is acceptable when it comes to public health? Columbia is still the hub for Central Missouri, and with that comes people into our community that depend on our services only we can provide to this region. The two biggest services are health care and entertainment without traveling great distances. Since the death of George Floyd, our community has been involved with protests that have been associated with the senseless deaths of many black and brown people in the United States. Columbia is not immune to these discussions. We must activate community dialogue and get involved with resolving the calls for bringing equal justice for all. I cannot agree with the call to defund the police. What we need to do is increase the funding for public health and human services to remove the need for the police to be involved with residents that need health services. This year will be a turning point for many of our lives, and we must all evaluate what we want Columbia to look like going forward. Lastly, while there are a lot of hard decisions being made and most of the items we discussed sound doom and gloom, there are some proposed projects that are uplifting and positive. Fiscal year 2021 presents an opportunity for us to take a look at our services we provide to see if any changes and improvements can be made. Over the next couple of years, we will be redesigning the way we do business from the inside out, examining and changing many of our core processes and philosophies on how we administrate and communicate. In order for us to be able to provide the best service to the community possible, we have to start asking the tough questions about how we can move many of our decision-making processes from being reactive to a proactive approach. To start, in fiscal year 2021, we will be taking a close look at the top by examining how our administrative and supportive services, such as finance, human resources, IT, legal, and yes, the city manager's office, communicate internally and make decisions that impact the city as a whole. We will be working with City Council to make sure we can retool Columbia to allow us to be better equipped to respond to future challenges ahead of events such as COVID-19. Due to COVID-19, we will be making changes to the historic Daniel Boone Building in the fiscal year 2021 to enhance customer experience and improve employee safety in the building. All external customer operations are proposed to be moved to the first floor of the building, which will make it easier for the customers to locate the service they need and complete their business without moving from floor to floor. This will also allow us to secure the remaining floors from the public access and will improve safety for our employees throughout the rest of the building. To engage the community, the city will be facilitating discussions with many community stakeholder groups to identify what the city is doing correctly to address equity and inclusion and what we need to improve in those areas. From those discussions, we will work to develop a larger engagement plan with community-driven priorities. We'll be working with the community to identify performance measures, action steps, and increase social and racial equity throughout Columbia. Staff will be looking to improve efforts on the review of policies and ordinances to ensure that they have an equitable and inclusive lens. The city will officially become a member of the Government Alliance on Race and Equity, a national network of governments working to achieve racial equity and advanced opportunities for all. We will be working with the National League of Cities Race, Equity, and Leadership to reinforce our knowledge and capacity to eliminate disparities and heal divisions to have a community that is more equitable. The city and several community partners are working together on the initiative called Como Unity to encourage innovation, partnership, and resiliency to work together to come, to work together to come from this situation better than ever. We have a short video that we'd like to play to highlight the Como Unity partnership, and if you'll focus on the screen.
We are changing.
We are adapting.
We are evolving. We are bending, but not breaking.
Bending, but not breaking.
But not breaking.
We are patient.
We are problem solvers.
We are a family.
We are stronger.
We are stronger.
We are stronger together.
Be kind.
Be a helper.
Be a rainbow.
Be unexpected.
Be unexpected.
Be an advocate.
Be a voice of change.
Be good to one another.
We will heal.
We will change the story.
We will come back better than ever.
We are one community.
One community.
One community.
With one goal.
Well, there's many to thank here. Producing a budget with 20 departments, 48 separate spending plans, and hundreds of service lines is no small task. No city manager can do this alone. I want to thank the individuals who work so diligently to help me and the community to achieve our goals. I didn't discuss every budget recommendation today, but instead I wanted to focus on items that I think you care about most. Residents may read the budget and related material online at como.gov or review a printed copy in the city clerk's office and in the finance department in City Hall. I encourage residents to attend the council's full-day work session on the budget, which is scheduled for Tuesday, August 13th from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m., where city staff will provide a deeper look into the numbers and answer council questions. Residents can also attend and provide feedback during the public hearing on the budget scheduled for August 24th, September 8th, and September 21st. The budget should be adopted by council at the September 21st council meeting. I want to thank all of you for coming today, and I'll be happy to take a few questions. Yes. I believe there's a list on. I believe there's a list in there. Some of them are, you know, my own assistant to the city manager, which is a filled position. I'm eliminating that. I know we're eliminating some one law position, many in operations, but they're throughout the whole city.
So I know the roll carts could be implemented or put onto the November ballot. Do you know how much that would cost to be implemented?
I don't right now. I know we're working on those numbers for council. It'll be a discussion that's coming up probably on the 13th, and so we'll be prepared to answer council's questions at that time.
Mr. Glasscock, Mark Slavitt, Channel 13. My question for you is about the police department. Are they going to be replacing people who operate the parking tickets on the street, or we will not see any parking people in public works anymore? And another follow-up to that on the police department, should people be concerned about fewer police officers and more social service involved with the police department?
No, sir. As far as the parking enforcement, I have basically eliminated four positions in parking enforcement, moved those to the police department. So we'll still have parking enforcement downtown, but it'll be done by the police department. It'll be a uniformed officer. They'll be doing it. It probably won't be as intense as it was with just having parking enforcement concentrated on it. But I really want those officers downtown talking to businesses, more of a community policing model that we're trying to do in the residences as well. I believe it needs to happen downtown. And I think your second question was what? Go ahead.
The second question was, should people in Columbia be concerned that you're putting more social workers into the police department instead of regular police personnel?
Well, what I'm doing is adding eight positions to the police department to offset some of this. I'm also adding seven positions to the health department to build a co-response unit. So they're actually separate entities. So health will take care of health. They won't be in the police department, but they will work together as a co-response unit. That's the plan. So however that gets developed, I don't know yet. We're still in that process, but that's the model we're moving toward.
City Manager Glasscock, I noticed on the budget that one of these positions is for an additional spokesperson at the police department. Why is that necessary right now?
I believe we have possibly uniformed officers helping with that, and I think it's to augment some of that, and it's also to oversee and coordinate. I'm moving the public information officers back out to the department, so they're going to manage that. Police department has a lot of requests for information, so they're going to take more time to do that.
My second question, you know, looking at the big picture, And I know you touched on this. We have a lot of people losing their jobs, a lot of people facing uncertainty. What kind of message of hope can you give to them as a city manager directly?
Well, I don't know that there's what I can say to them. We're having to adjust. You know, we've had 160 positions open that were frozen. So we eliminated 78 of them, positions. So if you're in one of those filled positions, I have unfrozen the rest of them that were part of that 160, so they would be allowed to move in one of those positions to not lose their job. That's the way I manage that. Anything else? Thank you very much. Sorry it took so long, David.